Welcome into another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing pretty well. All right, so Titans-Texans this weekend, round two, obviously a much different game than the last time these two teams met, when Deshaun Watson was still tearing up the NFL for the Texans, and they still had J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless. You remember that game was a little bit of a disaster for the Titans. Marcus Mariota got hurt right at the kind of the end of the first half. Tried to play a series after that and then gave way to Matt Cassel. We all know how that ended. But the Titans obviously are the much healthier team at this point in the season. Really the biggest injury of concern to this point has been Rishard Matthews, who missed the game last week against the Colts, didn't practice today. But, you know, they sounded like he was a true game-time decision on Sunday. So I would say there's a chance that he's back out there this week. We'll monitor the practice reports as we go along during the week. You know, Wednesday, the guys will sit on Wednesday a lot of times, and it may not mean they're not necessarily going to play. Now, Brian Arakpo did miss practice today with a shoulder, and that's definitely something to monitor because we've talked a lot about how thin the Titans are there, and they definitely can't afford to go into this game without him.
Yeah, you know, the Titans' pass rush has been up and down. It's been up lately, but obviously it would take a big dip if Arakpo were to miss. But I don't really see any severity to this Arakpo deal. It is interesting that it just popped up today, so we'll monitor that. The big one, as you said, is Matthews. You know, for a passing attack that just doesn't have much chemistry, you want to get, you know, your big receiver out on the field as much as possible. Him and Mariota have had chemistry going back to the last year, and him and Delanie Walker are really the only two that you can say that about with Mariota. So getting him back on the field, back in the fold, is a big deal, and I think he's in a spot against the Texans where he could really make some hay if he could play.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, hopefully he can get back tomorrow. I think if we see anything, even if it's just on a limited basis from him over the next couple of days, it's probably a pretty good sign that he's going to be able to go. The only other guy, well, actually two more guys missed today. Norris Searcy missed with his ankle injury. And, you know, Mularkey said on Monday that he's day-to-day, so we'll see how that goes. And then Brian Schwenke missed practice with an illness. So, you know, not huge there with Quentin Spain being back. Swinky's a backup, but it sounds like he's just sick, and he'll probably be back tomorrow. On the Texans side, we were looking at this before we came on. They had Lamar Miller, who missed practice today, and Jadeveon Clowney missed practice today as well. But I think both of those guys, you know, it's early in the week. We'll see how that goes. Lamar Miller, I mean, his injury looked kind of bad the other night, but you said he came back into the game. So, I mean, who knows? Like I said, we'll just monitor that as the week goes along. DeAndre Hopkins was limited. Obviously, he's been a guy that's tortured the Titans since he's been in the league. But I think it's probably just kind of a maintenance day for him. Doesn't sound like there's any danger of him missing the game.
Yeah, he's not going to miss a chance to beat up on the Titans. He's absolutely owned Tennessee in his career. So, yeah, that's one of the big matchups of the weekend for me. Really, you look and you see if Lamar Miller is going to miss this game, you're talking about Alfred Blue. You're talking about a running game that really hasn't been very good. So really all this offense has right now, missing Will Fuller, is DeAndre Hopkins. So how are the Titans going to slow him down? Last time around, it was they chose to put Bryce McCain on him. Not sure why. It didn't work out very well. But again, they had, you know, they had a different quarterback. They had Deshaun Watson throwing the ball instead of Tom Savage. So that's obviously a big difference. But since that game, Adoree Jackson's done some growing up. So I'm interested to see if they give him some more responsibility with Hopkins. So I'll be looking for that on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's something that you know, the Titans hadn't done a whole lot of shadowing up until this year, and they still haven't done a whole lot this year. But you've seen times where it looks like they've at least made an effort to match guys up. And so I was looking – I did a post last time before the Titans and Texans played, and Logan Ryan, who was on the Midday – he has a show on Midday 180 on Tuesdays, I think it is. And I remember the week leading up to the Texans game, they were talking to him about the success that Ryan had had against DeAndre Hopkins when Ryan was with the Patriots last year. And so they faced the Patriots and the Texans played twice last year, and DeAndre Hopkins in those two games caught 10 balls for 121 yards on 17 targets. So that's total from two games. So 561 obviously would be your average there. And in his career against the Titans, and this was before the game where he tortured, where he torched them again this year, in his career against the Titans, he had gone, his average against the Titans was six catches for 103 yards and almost a touchdown per game. So, you know, he obviously, like I said, he's been a guy that's given the Titans a lot of trouble. It would make a whole lot of sense for them to try to match up Logan Ryan on him. But they didn't do that last time. Like you said, we saw way too much of Bryce McCain on him. But anyway, it would just be to see what they do because, you know, for the most part, they've moved Logan Ryan into the slot when they've been in, the, when they've been in nickel. It would make a lot of sense for them not to do that in this game, but I don't know how confident they feel about, you know, who would move in the slot if it's not Logan Ryan then. But in my mind, the bigger sacrifice would be having Bryce McCain on DeAndre Hopkins versus having Bryce McCain in the slot, even if he's not necessarily comfortable there.
Yeah, we've kind of seen, you know, the Titans not really apply logic.
Right.
You know, Derrick Henry's hot. They'll immediately give the ball to DeMarco Murray. Murray's hot. They'll immediately give the ball to Henry. And so on and so forth. You know, you've got a big advantage in the passing game, and they'll run the ball. So, yeah, we'll see. I would love to see Adoree Jackson take on DeAndre Hopkins. But, you know, with that being said, I'm still expecting a big game out of Hopkins, simply because he's the only option Houston has to move the ball. You know, he hasn't been bad since Tom Savage took back over. But, you know, it's the Titans, so Hopkins is going to have a big game. So if you play DraftKings or Daily Fantasy or anything like that, if you play draft, like we've been promoting, fire up DeAndre Hopkins. I bet he has a pretty good day.
Yeah, and like you said, that's been the thing. And we know Tom Savage is going to throw him the ball. I mean, he peppers him with targets. And like you said, especially if we'll keep an eye on Lamar Miller's status, but especially if he's out. Like you said, if you got Alfred Blue back there, if he's your main tailback, because, you know, Foreman is already out for the year. They're not going to have a good option outside of DeAndre Hopkins really to move the ball. So, yeah, I mean, that's obviously something that the Titans should know, and hopefully will do a better job this time of scheming up to do their best to take him away. But, you know, if you watch as many Texans games as we have, since DeAndre Hopkins has been in the league, you don't have a whole lot of confidence in the Titans' ability to do anything against him. But anyway, so we'll see how that goes. And like I said, it's going to be a completely different game than it was last time. Just the Texans are just such a different team than they were then. And, you know, when you look at all the injuries they suffered, it's kind of been crazy. The Titans have had, you know, kind of the opposite fortunes there. So we'll see how that goes. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about some DVOA numbers and where we think the Titans might be able to take advantage of the Texans. All right, so if we dig into DVOA, and, you know, keep in mind here that the Texans' DVOA numbers are still going to be better than what their current team is, because you've still got those Deshaun Watson games in there, and you've still got some games where the defense had J.J. Watt, Winnie Merciless, that type of stuff. But if you look at the Texans from an offensive perspective, they're 20th in DVOA overall. They are 15th passing and 19th rushing. So, you know, kind of a middle of the road type deal there. And again, I think those numbers would be a lot less, though they wouldn't be as high as they even are right now if you took those Deshaun Watson games out. But like we said, I mean, offensively, they're going to look throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. That's their option. And so the Titans need to see what they can do to take that away. On the flip side, the Titans offense, I mean, unfortunately, we know what the Titans are going to try to do, right? They're going to come out and try to establish the run. Whether or not the Texans are, you know, first in DVOA against the run or 32nd, the Titans are going to try to establish the run early on. Now, this Houston defense is pretty strong against the run. They're 9th DVOA against the run and 17th against the pass. So, again, it looks like one of those times where it would be a smart move to come out, spread the field a little bit, throw the ball, and then settle into a run game. But, I mean, I think we're kind of on the same page here. I don't expect the Titans to do that.
Yeah, and like you said, Houston's still really tough up front, even without Watt. So I think it's going to be just a typical Titans game where you see them really struggle to run the ball. You've got some ugly rushing stats. And then, you know, Mariota probably will have to make some plays down the stretch to win the football game. Hopefully I'm wrong on that. Like, am I wrong for thinking that this is a spot where the Titans should just come out and win handily by 14 to 17 points?
Absolutely not. I mean, when you look at just everything that the Texans are missing, you know, no team could sustain the injuries that they have. And so when you look at a team that's that beat up, and you look at a team that's relatively healthy, it would make sense for the game to play out that way. But all you got to do is think back to that Colts game here last year, where the Colts were missing like six starters total. And, you know, everybody thought this was the time the Titans were going to end the streak against the Colts and, you know, yada, 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 and they lost to them. So, I mean, these things tend to defy logic sometimes, but you're absolutely right. I mean, just from that standpoint, and look at all the just big-name players that the Texans have lost, it should be a spot, a team that, you know, thinks they're going to win the division, is poised to make the playoffs. They should be able to come out and roll a team that is decimated like the Texans are.
You're absolutely right. You know, like you said, come out and throw the ball. That's where you've got an advantage. Take advantage of that. Kevin Johnson on the outside, not been very good. Kareem Jackson's on the injury report. He's not been very good. Take advantage of that. You know, get Corey Davis going. You know, get Taywan Taylor involved. It just seems like the Titans go out of their way to make things harder themselves, particularly on the offensive side of the football. So it would just... Man, it would make me feel a lot better to see this team come out and really put together a solid offensive performance, because, you know, you look around Twitter, you look around social media, you would think that this team is like 2-10. I mean, so many people are down on this team, and they're in the thick of a playoff race. I've never seen anything really like this, and I think those concerns are very warranted. You know, but, you know, at the same time, this team's going to be in the playoffs, probably. So it's you want to get behind it, but, you know, you kind of need to see the on-field product to really get behind it.
Yeah, it's funny. There was a post, I think, today or yesterday, I can't remember, from the Football Outsiders guys on ESPN Insider talking about playoff odds, and we referenced that a couple days ago as well. But when you read the, you know, paragraph, they describe – what, you know, the Jaguars playoff odds are X, and then they, you know, go give a little blurb about the Jaguars. When you read the blurb about the Jaguars and the blurb about the Titans, they talk about just, you know, how great the Jaguars are, and they're, you know, this and that and that, and the Titans are lucky to be where they are, and they're not a very good team, and blah, 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 blah. And so, like, on one hand, you get it, right? I mean, the Jaguars have a really, really good defense. I mean, their defense is top five in the league. And the Titans don't have anything right now that's top five in the league. So from that standpoint, you understand that, and you watch Titans games week in and week out, and they're ugly, and they don't ever score any style points, but they find ways to win. They're undefeated in games that are decided by 4 points or less. That's important. That'll be important when the playoffs come around to have been in those types of games. But I don't know. I find it. On one hand, like, yeah, I think it's exactly what you're saying. On one hand, you understand it. You understand why the perspective of this team is what it is. But on the other hand, just when you look at the Jaguars, I just don't understand why everybody thinks that they're so much better. And I get, you know, Titans rolled over them. That was in week two. A lot has changed since then, sure. But, you know, Blake Bortles is still the quarterback there. Leonard Fournette has slowed down. The running game has not been nearly as effective there as it was early in the year. And, you know, their defense has started to show some cracks. Now, again, it's still an elite unit. I'm not trying to take that away from them. But I just don't think that, you know, it seems like everybody just assumes that if, you know, the Jaguars and the Titans played on a neutral site, the Jaguars would be like a touchdown favorite. And that just seems ridiculous to me, because the Titans can stop what the Jaguars want to do on offense. And so then it's just a matter of, you know, can Mariota make enough plays to win a game? You got to be a little bit worried about that at this point with his past few weeks. But at the same time, I mean, you know, give me the Jaguars defense against Marcus Mariota versus Blake Bortles, even against the Titans defense. I'll take the Mariota side of that all day long.
I think some of this is battered fan syndrome of just kind of expecting things to go wrong. And, you know, you've been down the road of Vince Young. You've been down the road of Jake Locker. And I think some fans are automatically defaulting to going down that road with Mariota. And I don't think that's fair. I've said before, he's done enough to earn the respect and earn the benefit of the doubt here. As we've said, this offense just kind of defies logic and you know, really doesn't play to his strengths. And I think that carries over to the overall perception of this team. I really feel like, you know, the fans are expecting the worst. And, you know, but the fact is they're still winning games. So I'm doing everything I can to get behind them, and I think everybody else should be doing that too. It's real easy to go into the sky's falling mode. You know, I think everybody did that against Pittsburgh. And I was fully prepared to do that against Indianapolis, don't get me wrong. But this team's headed for the playoffs, so I'm going to do my best to get behind them. I think everybody else should do that too.
And listen, you know, a lot of people remember the Steve McNair, Eddie George days so fondly. And it's like, oh, they had this great offense and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That team won games a lot like this team is. Now, granted, the defense on that team was like, you know, Jaguar, better than Jaguar's defense is right now. It was, you know, everybody talks about the 2000 Ravens defense. Well, the Titans gave up less yards that year than the Ravens did. I mean, their defense was really, really elite. But the offense struggled a lot of times to get things done. They won a lot of ugly games. They kicked a lot of field goals. And they were, you know, widely regarded as, especially in 2000, the best team in the league. 99, obviously, they made it to the Super Bowl. They had a run there of, you know, 5 or 6 years where they were, you know, in the conversation every single year. And very few times was it because the offense was just going out there and putting up ridiculous points. So, you know, people, we were talking earlier about just other things, like with Tennessee football and all that stuff. Like, people, it seems like people can't remember anything past 5 years ago. And so everybody's like, I don't know. Everybody's down on this team, and I get it. And, you know, Marcus Mariota talked today about some of his press conference, basically talking about his mechanics and how, you know, he sees that he's not stepping into throws. And they asked him, you know, do you feel that when it happens? And he says sometimes yeah and sometimes no. He said, but that's something that he's really been focused on the last couple of weeks in practice, is making sure that he, you know, goes through his mechanics properly all the time so he's not caught flat-footed or thrown off of his back foot. You know, he's going through a little bit of a slump. It happens to everybody. And so, yeah, I think you're exactly right that we've seen so many quarterbacks, or at least, you know, the last two quarterbacks that we had really high hopes for at points. And then it just all came crashing back down. And so I think everybody is hesitant to get excited about the next guy. But he's the guy. And it's going to come around. And I just hope that it does it at some point this year. Because I do think that, you know, if he plays well, I think they've got enough to stay on the field with Pittsburgh. I mean, if Mariota doesn't throw four picks in that game, it's not 40-17. So, I mean, I think that it's a different conversation if we see that. But like you said, I mean, so much of the national narrative about this team goes as Marcus Mariota goes.
Yeah, and look, it's perfectly fine to feel like the sky is falling. You know, I get all of that. But once again, this team is not that bad. You know, the pieces are in place. I feel like. I don't think that they've hit their potential. I don't think anybody feels that way. But I think we can take peace in the fact that most of the pieces offensively are in place. It's just a matter of putting it all together. So I know that's not the answer that fans want to hear. Everybody wants the immediate result, but it's just it's not there yet. But I think it speaks to, one, how bad the AFC is, and two, that this team is still pretty good. The fact that this team is currently the 3 seed in the AFC. So, you know, I'm choosing to take the high road here But again, that can all be undone with a loss to the Texans this weekend, which is very possible. But I just really like to see them come out, win a game that they're supposed to win, you know, not have any drop touchdowns, not have any terrible picks, you know, not have any catastrophic errors. Go put a team away. It's been a while since they've done that.
All right, so Terry, on the way out, I'll ask you for two predictions. One about this game between the Titans and the Texans, and the second one, when we record on Sunday night, will the Tennessee Vols have a new head football coach?
One, I think the Titans win this one by about 10 points. I'll go about 24-14. Pretty confident in that. I don't think the Texans have enough firepower to keep up. And as for the coach, who knows? I would hope so. But at this point, it's a new dumpster fire every day. So I'm going to say yes, though. By Sunday, I would hope so.
And again, if you don't know, Terry runs RockyTopTalk.com, covers the balls there, and is pulling his hair out with this whole coaching search thing. So give him a click there to, you know, for all the work he's doing on this. Yeah, I mean, I'm going with you. I think the Titans do, and I've been high on this offense every week. Every week, I think this is the one they're gonna, this is where they're gonna get there. But I do feel better about this one, just based on the matchup and stuff, being at home and all that stuff. So I'm kind of with you. I think it's an ugly game for 2.5 quarters, and then I think kind of like those early season games, like against the Jaguars and the Seahawks. I think the Titans kind of let the Texans hang around at least early on, and they kind of put their foot on the gas at the end. And so I'm looking at something like that. Like I think they get 27 points, something like that, 27-17, somewhere in that neighborhood. So anyway, that at least what I'm hoping for. And it would just be really nice to see Marcus Mariota come out and have a solid game with no, like you said, no bad interceptions, none of that stuff, and just kind of something to build off of. Going into it, you know, again, Cardinals and 49ers, which are a couple of games that we point to and say they should win, they'll be favored and all that stuff, but, you know, two games on the West Coast, that's never an easy thing. But it would help, you know, to get a little bit of confidence going into those games. And so I think this is a good spot for them to do that. All right, Terry, anything else before we get out?
I think that does it.
All right, cool. Like I said, we'll be back on Sunday night with a reaction to this game. In the meantime, check out SlateMGCMiracles.com. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jay Morris, MCN. Terry is at TLambertFB. Check out Draft. I've still got a draft hanging out there. Follow me on Twitter. You can see the link to that. And again, if you use the promo code LONFL, you get a free $3 ticket into a real money game. So check that out. It's a really cool site. But anyway, for Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening to Locked On Titans, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.